Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Fred Obiero.
Hello, and welcome to the Ivy Podcast. My guest today is Janine Swa. She is an entrepreneur and venture capital scout at Florida Funders. Hey, Janine.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Great. Thanks for being here. Before we start this episode, I have one small request to our listeners. As we continue to grow the Ivy Podcast, we would appreciate if you would just take a minute of your time to leave us a review on the show, because reviews make a huge difference to podcast channels like ours. Now, time for the episode with Janine. So Janine, tell us about yourself and what falls under your oversight within your organization.
Absolutely. So I am the founder of a company called Find, and we are an alternative ed tech platform that aims to translate mainstream education information into languages that are more accessible, inclusive, and also assistive for our founders with disabilities. And so in doing that, I'm also able to connect those same founders to venture capital and to equity crowdfunding through my roles at Florida Funder and at WeFunder.
That's an interesting collaboration there. So on one side, you're a founder, and the other side, you're a scout for a VC. So how has that worked out in your favor?
Oh my gosh, it's been the best. Because my long-term goal is to launch my own fund, right? So one, I get to learn and understand like what goes into the deal-making process, like how to find those really great founders. But on the same time, I empathize with the founders and can share insight on how to adjust whether your business model or your marketing plan or, you know, anything that may be a shortcoming to make you a better candidate for venture capital funding.
Now, taking a step back, looking at your experience, at what point did you realize that you want to go into the VC world? Was it something that you saw somewhere? Was it a mentor that you were looking up to? What was biggest draw that brought you to the VC world?
That's a great question, honestly. So prior to Find, I had a incubator / co-working space here in Miami, Florida, and I moved from the West Coast of Florida to Miami to open it about 4 years ago. Launched in the midst of COVID, so we had to do a lot of things digitally, and I saw the power of influence that way. In doing that and in building an ecosystem of 3,500 founders, I also saw that a lot of those founders had issues getting access to funding. And so my solution back then was, hey, like, let me, you know, work with founders one-on-one, help them overcome some of these barriers, but ultimately the power led in the check writing. And so that's where I was like, okay, I have this insight, but I think that I could be more effective like by writing a check than just, you know, helping a founder accomplish something. So that's how I got into the space.
Great. So you're a female in a minority, and studies have shown that these are the groups who have a more difficult time when it comes to getting their startups funded.
Yes.
How do you see yourself helping with these challenges? Talk to us about that, please.
Yeah, so a lack of access to capital is actually a very deeply rooted problem. That's right. Not a one-size-fits-all solution, right? And so part of the solution that I've come across is going three separate avenues. One, addressing the lack of knowledge, know-how. Two, addressing the lack of social capital network. And then three, the lack of direct and indirect resources. And so how I see myself helping with these challenges, being a direct connection point for all three of those facets. So the one, knowledge, know-how, that's how I'm addressing it with the educational platform. Then the social capital network, by being a scout, by being a partner to these different entities, I can then meet with the founders and then connect them to these great points that, you know, will help them get access to funding, or at least shed some light on what they can do to improve their chances. And then same with the resources in terms of entrepreneurial support organizations. So I've been very intentional and strategic about who I align myself with so that I can then go and provide a direct solution for founders seeking capital.
A follow-up to that, we're just coming off of the global pandemic, COVID-19 pandemic. How has that affected people's access to getting funding or getting these opportunities?
Honestly, I think it's made it better because now, like, you know, VCs don't have to fly across from the Bay to Miami or to anywhere in the world, really, or founders from New York don't have to fly somewhere. You can right. easily meet virtually. And that has been a lot of the access that I personally have gained through this pandemic, is being more visible and making sure that I'm more visible online. Because when you are more visible, you are also deemed a little more credible once you talk about, you know, certain areas. And so that's what I've seen a lot of founders do, is leverage their digital platforms to share information, to share their accomplishments. And then the VCs and investors, period, are just seeing what they're doing. So I think that it's actually made it better, more convenient, let's say that.
Uh-huh. So you're in a unique position. You're a founder and you also work for a VC. Now, I want to ask you a question. Having to, let's say, do a pitch over Zoom call versus having to do it in person, does that help or hurt your chances of getting funding? What puts you in a better platform to be able to explain your startup idea to a VC in order to boost your chances of getting the funding?
That's a great question. And I think a lot of it, it's such a holistic answer, because the pitch isn't everything, right? And uh-huh. part of what I'm learning from Florida funders is that it's like, they're very founder focused. So if they've seen, you know, past failures of a founder, even past successes of a founder, that shows them that that could potentially increase their chances of being successful in the next venture. And so I would say that the pitch itself helps, obviously, when you're in a room full of like general partners and right. they're pitching to you. But I also think that it's a little deeper than just the pitch. And so that's why I think that it varies. But definitely, of course, having all your basics, your foundations, your financials aligned, and also have them be aligned with your strategy is also an important facet when it comes to getting funded.
Let's talk about Florida funders. What would you say is the biggest role played by Florida funders in the venture capital community? How has it helped you, and how can it help others, especially those early stage founders?
Yes. So Florida Funders has really taken the role of being the most active VC firm in Florida. So they don't, you know, a lot of funds can make a maximum of, you know, 5, maybe 10 investments per year. Florida Funders does an average of like 25, sometimes 30, 40. It really just depends on the check size. Uh-huh. But they just want to be responsible for the high growth in Florida. As we can see now, the landscape is completely different than it was even a year ago, right? So
yeah, they a lot
want
has changed.
To be, oh my gosh, yes. And by having boots on the ground like me, like Evan, like Jadon, who are very active in the ecosystem, we immediately become the face and the go-to person for if they need funding. And so I think that Florida Funders has been very intentional with just being very visible so that they can make themselves a little more accessible and available to founders who are seeking funding.
What are some of the recommendations you can share on how minority founders can improve their odds of obtaining VC funding? Do you have any examples that you can describe on something that maybe you've seen working well in your experience?
Yes, 100%. So it's sad, you know, because historically we as minorities just haven't had the same opportunities as our white counterparts, and women included, white women included, any female included, honestly. Yeah. And so I think that because of we haven't had that advantage, we're still learning some things. And so the suggestions that I would really give, they're very concrete, that I tell any founder, before you talk to me, you need to know these 6 things, right? It's like, know your why. Why do you need funding? Why do you want funding? Because a lot of people think that they need it, but they don't necessarily know what they need it for. Know the real, which I call the real, which means like, just because you want funding doesn't mean you actually need it. And then just because you need it doesn't mean you're going to get it. So just being real and honest with yourself. Knowing your vision, understanding if you are a venture backable company or a lifestyle business is key to understanding if you're even eligible for venture funding. Because if you know, if you're aiming to be in the 10 millions, 100 millions, an angel investor would love that. But a VC has to make what are called outsized returns for their own investors. And right. so that's right. a key. And that's what I see, especially in the minority community, is like not really understanding what it means to be venture backable. And then I think I'll kind of wrap it up, but it's just like knowing your options, right? Not everybody needs VC funding. So knowing that there are debt financing options available, equity crowdfunding available to a more democratized version of raising funds. And of course, then you have the basics like your product, your plan, pathway to profitability, and then just whether or not you're investment ready. So those are like the six main things that I go with in depth with founders. And I find that a lot of founders are like, oh, okay, based on these, I really don't need venture funding because I don't envision myself getting to upwards of $1 billion. I maybe only want to be like a $20 million company, which is amazing. But venture funding isn't the best solution for what you need in that moment.
Yeah. So earlier I had asked you about pitches and doing pitches over Zoom versus in person. So venture capital firms like Florida Funders, they get pitches from so many founders and most of them don't even get funding.
Right.
What in your eyes makes a convincing pitch that will generate interest in a VC and compel them to fund a startup? They may not fund it immediately, but even down the line, what recommendations or suggestions can you provide to our listeners that may be in that same predicament?
Your story, I would say some, from what I've seen, your story, your track record, like I said, whether it's a positive or negative track record, at least you have one. And then also making sure that you are effectively and succinctly communicating your idea. I would say that those are the three, right? And then on top of all of that is just how you deliver it in a way that can catch the attention. They always say, you know, you can catch somebody's attention within the first 8 to 10 seconds. And so not saying you have to put on a show, because some of the best founders don't give the best pitches. But some of the concrete things that I would say is like, have a story, have a backstory. Why did you start this company? What made you, you know, what's your North Star? What made you want to grow and get to this next level? What is it about your product that you absolutely love and believe in outside of anybody, you know, who's maybe any of your competitors? So it's really just conveying those things, but in a very succinct, direct way to make it easier for the other person understanding. Because what also happens is that not every VC is going to be an expert in your industry. So they're relying on you as an expert to tell, you know, why are you the most qualified person to run this company?
Incredible. So another question I had is it a good idea for founders to basically shop the idea to multiple VCs versus just narrowing down to, let's say, their top two or three? What's your suggestion on that?
I would say, me personally, I shopped my idea out to tons of VCs, and you can even come at it as an angle of like, so they say like, ask for advice, you get money, ask for money, you get advice. In the beginning stages, like feel free to shop it out to as many like, hey, I'm thinking of building this, what do you think? But at the same time, do your due diligence, right? Because when you do your due diligence as a founder, you can see, hey, does my strategy align with this VC? No. Okay, so find another one. Like I always say that founders should have their top three VCs or investors that they would want to invest in them. And those are the people you're going to spend the most time on, right? But at the same time, I think it's important, especially in the beginning stages, to get as much feedback as possible. And then you as a founder have to decipher what is valuable feedback versus what is not valuable feedback, because every investor is going to tell you something different that they want to see. So it's really leveraging that awareness of your own business, but then using the feedback to make your pitch better.
Actually, I have a follow-up to what you just said. So every investor may tell you something different on as far as what they want to see. How do you know, or how do you strike a balance between constantly tweaking your pitch versus trying to convey your message the best way you know how? What's the balance that you look for in that kind of situation?
I think it's a probability game, right? So it's like, if you hear five VCs, I'm a very data-driven person. So if one person tells me, hey, I don't like this, but 10 people tell me that they like it, I'm going to go with what the 10 people say over the one person. If I went to six different VCs in the beginning stages and I'm like, look, I'm building this product, this is what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. And then three out of those, let's even say four out of those six VCs give you one form of feedback and two give you another form. One, the probability it also depends on which VCs you prefer the most, because you need to tailor your pitch to what the VCs you hear want to hear. And then the second one, look at the probability game, I would say. But also at the same time, and this is why VC and just being a founder is such a crazy process, because it's like, ultimately, you could not listen to anybody and just go with your gut and still do what you need to do.
Correct.
And get the funding. So it varies. It really depends on the founder. And I think that's why VCs rely so heavily upon the founder's perspective and the founder's expertise and the founder's level of confidence too, which is very big in all of this.
All right. So let's do a hypothetical. You're a founder. And so you're a founder, you've pitched your idea to several VCs, and even though they may like your idea, you're not getting any funding.
Mm.
So for that kind of situation, what other avenues can those types of founders pursue to keep their dream alive and hopefully get funded in the future?
That is amazing and part of the ethos of what I do. So another direct opportunity could be through angel investors, not necessarily through like a venture capital institutional investor. You can do through angels. You can also do through equity crowdfunding, which is what I am a partner at WeFunder with. And it's basically democratizing the fundraising process, because it gives founders who have been historically overlooked an opportunity to take control of their own raise by raising from both unaccredited and accredited investors on a platform, you know, within a span of 15 minutes. And so I would recommend, and if I were a founder, which I personally, when I fundraise, I'm going to be raising a majority of my fund from equity crowdfunding, because the reason why I've grown so much is because of the people who have supported me, and I want to give them an opportunity to get in on the deal so that they can then benefit financially from giving me all this support emotionally and also just virtually online.
That's
what I would do if I were a founder.
That's good. Before we sign off this podcast, talk to us a little bit about the startup that you founded. What was the impetus behind that? What drove you to start up the company?
Yeah, so my training is in linguistics and specifically second language acquisition. I've been a linguist for the last 16 years, and a lot of my study has been in how society and language interact, which is called sociolinguistics. And in doing research and working with tons and tons of founders, when it came to the parallels of learning a second language and founders interacting with the language of VC and of investing and fundraising, I saw a lot of similarities. And a lot of them were intimidated by quote unquote VC talk, because the information was being presented into a way that they couldn't understand. And so I saw the same parallels across a couple different languages, sign language in particular, like the amount of content, e-learning content that you can get access to as a person who is hearing disabled is very slim to none, right? So that's where I saw an opportunity for me to leverage my area of expertise and my ultimate passion in life to be able to create a solution that could improve the chances of one, people getting funded, but overall just people getting access to information that they may not otherwise get access to.
And how old is your startup?
Oh my gosh, I just launched. Like, I'm still in my beta, but I already have like 50 customers and I just launched my beta yesterday.
Wonderful, that's massive. Congratulations.
No, thank you. But no, it's like brand new, and I've been in research mode for a while. And that's what I would also recommend for founders seeking VC, like take the lean startup model, try not to raise VC just immediately. Take some time to get to know your audience, like know your product, know yourself. And then, you know, once you're ready to go scale rapidly, then you can go seek VC.
All right. So my last question, and this is one of my favorite questions that I ask all my guests, mm-hmm. What has helped you to get where you are? And what of advice would you give to someone that wants to pursue a career, let's say in venture capital?
What has helped me is being authentic and true to who I am. And the piece of advice that I would give is honestly never give up, which sounds really cliche, but persistence is key. Because again, life is a probability game. If you keep going for so long, you're bound to break through where you want to be, but you can't allow the noise and the distractions to deter you from your ultimate goal. Because if I had done that with my first startup, when we were brick and mortar, I would have stopped, but it's not in my DNA to stop. So I figured it out. I took the information that I needed to get from that failure and turned it into something now that is thriving. And that authenticity and relationship building is absolutely key in this game. So those are my 2 cents.
Wonderful. Hey, Janine, this has been wonderful. Thanks a lot for coming on and sharing your knowledge and insights with us. I definitely look forward to catching up with you in the near future and hopefully revisiting the success that your setup has had ever since.
Yes, thank you so much for your time and for thinking of me. And I wish you all the success with this podcast.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Ivy Podcast. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.